You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend. More importantly, I hope all the moms in your life had a great weekend. Gang's all here ready to go. Best and worst of the weekend. Get to your phone calls coming up. We'll dive into DK Metcalf's performance over the weekend. Ran a 10.3 100-meter dash. Otto Bolden, NBC Sports, NBC Olympics track and field analyst, was on the call. And Otto will join us coming up here in a moment. Reggie Miller will join us coming up next hour. We'll talk about Zion Williamson. Is he officiated the way Shaq was officiated? Zion's out for the year. Well, not much left in the year with a broken ring finger. Luka Doncic, is he complaining too much? And the incredible performances of Steph Curry down the stretch. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. McLovin, the poll question today. By the way, you can watch this show on Peacock all 3 hours. That's our streaming service. And you can listen on iHeartRadio, Premier, and Fox Sports Radio, The Dan Patrick Show. Yes, McLovin.
Okay, whose career would you rather have, Usain Bolt or Tom Brady? We're up to 70% now, Tom Brady.
I would rather be the greatest who's ever done something in a sport that people care about as passionately as they do with the NFL. Now, he's not famous worldwide, as Usain Bolt is, but I would rather be Tom Brady with 7 Super Bowls. All right, you got a few gold medals there. Like, would you rather be Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps? Because Michael Phelps has more medals than anybody in the history of the Olympics. Would you rather be Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt? Yes, Pauline?
It does feel like Bolt's got greatest runner, sprinter of all time. Phelps has greatest Olympian of all time. Yeah. Like every other sport, they're well under him. It feels that way.
But it's swimming, although we all swim and we all run, but there's more prestige when you walk into the room. If Michael Phelps walks into the room and Usain Bolt walks into the room, who are you more curious about? Who would you like to talk to? Probably Usain Bolt. Because what Bolt did, imagine training 15 years to run 9 seconds. That's what Bolt describes his career as. My goal was to run 9 seconds. Yes, McLovin.
You're not going to like my Michael Phelps take.
Okay.
Once you're the fastest swimmer, you win 9 gold medals because you're a faster swimmer than the other guys. Like, it's basically 1 gold medal. That's how swimming and the other thing too is swimming is not really open to a lot of people. Like, ask Pat Forty. Like, it's a very small subset of Americans who have access to that kind of training.
Well, why am I asking Pat Forty?
Oh, because his daughter, I'm sorry, is like an Olympic level swimmer. Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because horse racing. But I just feel like everybody can sprint, not everybody can swim. Swimming is a very elite sport.
Well, but everybody does swim. You can swim. You may not get that training. Doesn't mean you're going to get the training to, you know, run in the Olympics. You have to get training there as well.
Yeah, in certain countries.
Who do you think it's bothered more? Like, if Usain Bolt goes out to like a park and is just working out, you know, dopey dudes come up, can I race? Michael Phelps, if he ever goes to a pool, it must be insane.
Yeah.
Some dopey dad goes, can we do a lap? They both get that. Tom Brady, he doesn't get that when he's out.
I still maintain that you need to have a fantasy camp, and Usain Bolt is going to be there. And so you get to run against Usain Bolt. You know, you just imagine the fantasy camp.
You get a picture.
Yeah, guys who are, you know, 40 years of age, 30 years of age. I think I suggested that to Usain Bolt a couple of years ago. He didn't take me up on it. Otto Bolden was there. Watch DK Metcalf, the Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, and ran a 10.3. Otto, kind enough to join us. What did you expect from DK Metcalf, Otto?
It changed over time. When I saw the play initially, I think I irked a lot of football fans by saying, oh, okay, big deal. 10.4 guy runs down 10.6 guy, and America goes crazy, fastest guy on the planet. And then I started listening to people who I thought knew more than me, like Ronaldo Nehemiah, for example. And, you know, he was a football player, and he obviously had a world record in the hurdles. And he said, oh, you know, DK is going to get destroyed. And I was like, why am I giving DK too much credit? So by the time we went on the air, I said, well, I don't know, 10.6, 10.7. If you had told me this guy was going to run 10.3, I'd have said, no way. But he did. And I think he, you know, even though he crosses the line in last, he was the winner yesterday.
Well, also, I'm looking at his form out of the blocks. Like, this is what you did for a living for a long time, and you analyze this for a living. So if you're looking at his form, what could you correct, and what do you think is actually possible for DK Metcalf?
I didn't see a lot wrong with his form. I said when I analyzed the start in real time, I said, if you looked at this video, you wouldn't be able to tell, oh, yeah, there's the NFL wide receiver. He looked like a sprinter for most of the race. One of the things that I said before the gun went off is my concern is that weight that he carries to be an NFL wide receiver and to have an NFL body is going to show up at some point during the race. Well, it probably showed up at about 80, and when everybody started to decelerate, as all sprinters do towards the end of the race, he was decelerating a lot more than everybody else. He probably could have hung on for maybe 6th or 7th, but no, his form, I wouldn't change a lot, other than he didn't relax probably as well as a sprinter knows to relax because they know the fatigue is going to come. But no, form-wise, he was fine.
I remember Carl Lewis telling me this a couple of years ago. He said he knew that it was, I think, 44 steps. Is that strides? Yeah. Does that sound right?
Yeah, for Carl, he'd probably take 44, maybe even fewer, yeah.
Okay. And what did Usain Bolt take?
Usain was 42 and a half.
And what did you use? How many strides?
I was 45, 46 on a bad day.
What was your single best time?
9.86, ran it 4 times.
What is that feeling like?
You know what? Before I ran sub 10, I had a teammate who had run, John Drummond, who had run 9.9. He was like, yeah, you know, it's like you step into this whole dimension and you come on the other side and you're like, oh my gosh, you've run under 10 seconds. Now, mind you, when I ran under 10, I was like the 8th or 9th guy to do it. The first time I ran under 10 seconds, which, oh, by the way, was at the Mount Sac relays where DK ran yesterday, it felt like 10.05 or 10.10. And he said, oh, you ran 9.93. And I went, oh, that's it? Oh, great. So it doesn't feel any different to, you know, to any other good performance. You know you've run fast, but there's no, like, you know, there's no sound barrier to go through.
I got you as one of the top 15 people who have walked this earth who have run this fast. That's pretty cool.
I think I'm in the top 50. I mean, you know, look, you know how you can't compare eras. It's like trying to compare, you know, guys who used to shoot the three well to what, you know, what we see now in the NBA. I think I'm up there still, but I think my skill was being able to run both the 100 and the 200 pretty well.
Paulie, what do you have, Otto? What's his time?
I got 9.86, but there's only, I got 13 humans have ever run 9.86 or lower.
Oh, wow. So, Dan, you're right. I'm still in the top 15.
Yeah.
Maybe you should take my job at NBC, because I certainly should have known that. I didn't think I was in the top 15. I thought maybe top 20.
If DK Metcalf called you and said, give me some advice, and do you think I could actually do this and make the Olympic team in 4 years?
Oh, I think he'd have a shot. The first thing is that he'd have to be closer to 200 pounds than 235. And you notice when Lewis Johnson asked him yesterday, so, you know, are you going to train more? Like, he's like, yo, I got minicamp. Like, he knows who cuts the checks in his life. But yes, if he called me and said in 4 years, I think he'd have a legitimate shot, because I mean, obviously he's a freak of an athlete, because to carry that weight for that far and run 10.36 having trained for, what, 4 or 5 months, I think is so amazing. He'd have to lose a lot of weight, and he'd have to really train hard. But he has the chops, no question.
Would you rather be Usain Bolt or Tom Brady have their careers?
Oh, wow. I mean, obviously my track and field bias is going to show. You know what? They're both pretty equal, because both of them have one thing in common. I don't think anybody is going to doubt that they are the greatest of all time in their sport, and certainly in sports, period. So, yeah, probably Bolt.
But I think with Bolt, somebody eventually comes along and will be faster than him. I don't know when, but somebody will. it's going to be really hard for somebody to come along and win seven Super Bowls. So I would rather be Tom Brady. But I will say, if Usain Bolt was at a cocktail party and so was Tom Brady, I'm probably more curious about Usain Bolt and some of the things that I could ask him.
Well, I would counter that, Dan, by saying that it is, you know, everybody, sprinting is not math. So you see guys running like 9.8 or 9.7. You go, well, that's not too far off. The record's 9.58. I am saying to you that the gap between what they're running now, yeah, and 9.58 and 19.19, which are both world records, and the gap between whoever has, I don't know, four or three Super Bowl rings and Brady is about the same. So don't think that the both world records are going anywhere anytime soon. It's going to be a long time before somebody gets there, trust me.
Is there trash talking in sprinting?
There used to be in my era. This is the kumbaya generation. They don't actually like each other, but they pretend they do because it's the politically correct era. I have to say, you know, about, you know, getting back to DK, I looked yesterday and all weekend for any sign of, like, superiority. Like, he didn't walk into this track meet like, yeah, I'm the big Pro Bowl wide receiver and you guys are mere sprinters. This guy was humble. He tried to assimilate. He didn't even leave after his heat. He stayed and watched the entire meet. And I went, my God, I'm a 49er fan since I was born. It's against my religion to like a Seahawk, but I'm gonna follow this guy because I think he's a fantastic kid.
Are you a Niners fan?
I am a Niners fan. Grew up watching Montana to Rice and Clark and everybody. Yes, Ronnie Lott, the whole deal.
Did you try to play football?
You know what? When I moved here at 14, my high school, Jamaica High School, which produced some guy named Bob Beeman, did not have a football team. So I think at the time when I should have, like, maybe been pulled in that direction, I didn't have anywhere to go. And I stayed in soccer and then eventually went to track.
If we ran the 100 meter today, what would you run?
Yeah, probably like 11-1, 10-0, 11-0, yeah.
So we're about even.
Oh, yeah. We're so even.
It's great to catch up with you again, Otto. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Hope you have a great summer.
You too, guys. Always good to be on with you.
That's Otto Bolden, NBC Sports lead track analyst, Olympic analyst, and one of the top 15 times, 100-meter dash times in the history of the world. That's pretty impressive, though. Like, you still have one of the top 13 times in track history. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, you go under 9.9, you go in a different category. There's a lot of guys who are like in that 9.9, 9.8, but then 9.7 or lower,
yeah,
you're down to six dudes.
Yeah. And you, I'm always curious, the guy who can throw 105 miles an hour, the guy who is going to have to hit 105 miles an hour. It, to me, it's more impressive to try to hit 105 than to throw 105, even though there's only a couple people have ever thrown it that fast. But, you know, it's not like they say, I'm throwing 105 right down the middle. You know, they're going to be, you know, setting up inside, outside, high, low, those kind of things. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking at you remember, we were on the air during this time when Usain Bolt won the gold medal and won, I think it was Beijing. And he started celebrating at the 80-meter mark. He turned sideways and stopped pumping his arms and looked to the crowd with 20 meters to go.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. I mean, he left stuff on the table, people thought.
Yeah, I said that at the time, like, why wouldn't you run faster to try to get a better time? And I had guys in track and field to say, no, he was winning the gold, that the time didn't matter. It was more of, look at me. Like, it was his look at me moment.
I only need 80 meters.
Yes. Yeah. And then he just, like, you shut it down. All righty. Bob Baffert's going to join us coming up in about 45 minutes. We'll talk about the Kentucky Derby situation as his horse, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby, Medina Spirit, has been. Now, suspended but not disqualified yet, right? They're waiting for that second blood test or second drug test, the due process here. Is that right, Seton?
You know, I thought that their statement was pretty harsh.
It felt like that, but I'm trying to figure out.
And I'm wondering if I was reading it with that tone or if it was actually that harsh, because part of me was like, well, wait, you still have a B sample to test.
Yeah.
What is this? You know, we absolutely don't condone that. Of course you don't condone cheating, but the statement just seemed very heavy-handed.
I'm reading here. It says, even if Medina Spirit is ultimately disqualified, something that can only happen after a second positive test, paramutual wagering is unlikely to be affected here. The last time a Derby winner was DQ'd for a positive drug test was 1968. That was Dancer's Image.
Well, 68. The drugs back then?
Yeah, well, you know, that was the Haight Asbury. You know? I saw horses that were just there at Woodstock, you know. The Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission in 1968 ordered Forward Pass, the horse that crossed the finish line second in the race, be considered the winner of the 1968 Kentucky Derby, except for the betting. So the runner-up, Mandaloon, would then be the Kentucky Derby winner. You just couldn't cash in on that if you bet on that horse, and that horse was 25-1. Let's get a couple of phone calls here, and then we'll take a break. Yes, Paulie.
In 97, Baffert had a horse in the Derby, and his name was Full of Steroids was the name of the horse. Not... and it didn't get DQ'd. It was a different time. It's actually not true. Not true.
No, thank you, Paulie.
I don't want to get sued.
I know.
This other horse was a polymaxyl cephalane. Yeah.
You know, the longer a drug, like the more trouble you're in, the longer a drug is.
The more syllables?
Yes. Yeah. When you know, beta methamphetamine.
That horse's moderate to severe plaque psoriasis is cleared up.
The horse is wearing, a tank top before the race and Oakley's. It had like a tattoo around, like a band around its arm.
Yes, McLovin.
I looked up the history of equine drug testing. Yeah. It goes back to 460 BC, where some horses were fed human flesh to run faster, according to Wikipedia. And then real drug testing started in the 1920s in America. That's how they used to give them cocaine and other stimulants to run. So this has been around a whole century. Horse racing doping is a big deal.
Yes, Paulie.
I think that would work because I was a horse and I saw that they're chopping up humans to feed me. What's going to happen to me if I don't perform? They're chopping up Nick over there.
Somebody's putting out lines and all of a sudden, come on over. Like, how did you get him to snort it? That's what I want to know.
All gacked up on that. Yeah. Like, hey, everybody, let's start eating the people. Yeah!
Imagine if it was pot. I got munchies.
The race would be going on. He'd be sitting there in the stall, just yeah. Zonked out.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Let's go. All right. Yeah, there's a
man. It actually explains a lot more why horses do that with their mouth like that. I can't feel it. My mouth is all numb.
Oh, these poor animals, though. How they're mistreated. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you hours. It's 20 after the hour. Bob Baffert, top of the hour. Reggie Miller in an hour from now. Dan Patrick Show.
Dan, I know you're excited.
You know why I'm excited?
I bet your Discover card is taken at
99% of the places in the United States, Seton.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And you also will get all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. Amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. So when it comes to Discover, you get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. The Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, will join us coming up top of the hour. And, of course, Reggie Miller. This from Shams. Lakers star LeBron James targeting Tuesday against New York for a return to the lineup from that sore ankle, sources tell. If not Tuesday, Wednesday versus Houston is possible. We'll talk to Reggie about that. Anthony Davis dropped 42, and the Lakers beat the Suns. Luka got tossed for hitting Colin Sexton right in the Sexton. And yeah, he got it. He complains a lot, Luka does. Now, Zion, to me, has a legitimate beef with the way he's officiated. I mean, I don't like that my star player is baitable. And Luka seems to be baited a lot here. And he's got, what, 15 technicals? And once it starts, that's when they start to... I mean, if I can get my, you know, the star player in his own head here. Remember Draymond Green? He was baitable. Now, his job was also to bait you, but he was... Patrick Beverley's job is to bait you. There's certain players, their job is to bait you. Rajah Bell, they just... You know, Bruce Bowen, try to get under your skin here. Luka can't get involved in this. Marcus Smart's another one. Most times getting their shot blocked this season. Zion Williamson got his shot blocked 131 times this year. But he's inside most points in the paint this season. It's not Giannis. It's not the Joker. It's Zion. Zion has 1,200 points in the paint. The Joker has under 1,000, as does the Greek Freak. Zion had his shot blocked 131 times. And then it's Colin Sexton with 87 and R.J. Barrett with 82.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, dap, dap. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Clap. And he's out for the season with that broken ring finger, but he's officiated differently. The last time you saw somebody officiated like this, it was Shaq. And that's what, you know, the Pelicans have been saying. Front office, coach, I will say Zion took the high road. He said, I look forward to the day when I earn these calls. He didn't criticize. And he didn't have to pay any money here. But David Griffin, who is their president or, you know, one of their CEOs or GMs, he came out and I think he got slapped for $50,000. But that's a smart 50 grand because you want to back Zion. You want to be there with him and say, look, you're officiated in a different way. And he is. Because when you watch... Zion just wants to get, if he gets the shot up, gets it blocked, he's so quick at getting back up again, and that's where he scores. So he almost goes in going, you may get it, but I'm going to get it again, and I'm going to score. And that's his mindset. That's the logic of, you know, how he goes about. He doesn't get style points. He just gets points. Yeah, McLovin.
Maybe they need like an enforcer irritant him out, like a Rodman.
I wondered about that. Well, you're not going to find Rodmans.
No, he was just the best at what he did.
He was a great player, and he was an irritant. He wasn't an enforcer because Dennis didn't want to fight you. But there are guys who, like Rasheed Wallace, you could get under his skin. Draymond, you could get under his skin, and then they were a detriment to their team. Luka can't be drawn into this. Like, he's got to be better about this. Now, I know he's young. But, all right, you're going to get banged around. You're the star player. You know, guys are going to rough you up a little bit. But I think you got to – what is he, Todd? He's executive vice president of basketball operations.
Correct.
Yeah, David Griffin. Yeah, Paulie.
If you look at Zion's second season, 61 games played, 33 minutes a game, 27-7.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. Remember, last year was a lot of managed minutes, a lot of no back-to-backs.
Yeah.
That didn't seem to be a factor at all this year.
He has – I didn't think he would be this great this soon. I even said this when he was drafted. I said, if he can match the numbers that Julius Randle puts up, I would be thrilled with that. He's only 20. And Julius Randle, by the way, is a very good player. He's improved himself greatly. And so that I wasn't that far off, but Zion has outsurpassed what I thought that he was able to accomplish because he doesn't have that legitimate jumper. Now, it's a set shot, although you got to respect it because, you know, he can get to the hoop on you. So, you know, I'll let you take the shot. But if he starts to hit that at a high percentage, then he's just going to be unstoppable. And he might be unstoppable now. I just don't know if he has a go-to move other than I get in the paint and try to deal with it. It's like Barkley. where you go, how is that guy at that size doing those things? And there's a little bit of that when I watch Zion. Yeah, Paul.
And Julius had a much slower start, Julius Randle. His second year in the league in comparison to Zion's 27 points, yeah. Julius Randle averaged 11 points, 10 rebounds, started 60 games, same as Zion at age 21.
But what is he averaging now?
He's up to 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Yeah, so that's what I said. If he can match what Julius Randle does, then I'd be thrilled. And he's pretty close to it. Yes, McLevin.
But I am seeing Randle, one of these 73 names mentioned as the who should be get MVP consideration.
No.
That's a new thing this year. This guy should get MVP consideration.
Yeah, we have to limit it to like 3 or 4. If we want to have this conversation, it feels like there's 15 guys up for the MVP. The Joker's winning the MVP. That's it. It's already done. But if you want to include Chris Paul, great. If you want to say his value to his team, yes, I have no problem with that. But, you know, we feel like, oh, the Joker, is he really that good?
It's like the European thing a little bit, though.
Well, I think people would be fine if Luka won the MVP. I think they have more of a problem. When you watch the Joker, you just feel like you've seen this guy before at the Y, where you go, yeah, he seems pretty good. Like fundamentally sound, and he passes and can shoot. Yeah, all right. Yes, Todd.
And he always looks like he just got punched in the nose. His cheeks don't get flushed or anything, but just his nose gets all bright red like he just took an elbow 2 seconds ago.
Yes, McLovin.
Are you not tempted to make a Steph Curry MVP case? Because you called it earlier in the year, and he's getting like much higher up in the rankings now.
You got to make the playoffs, I think. Look, he's, to me, every night. Like, it's been amazing. I mean, he's averaging almost 32 points a game. But when you want, everybody knows he's going to shoot. The degree of difficulty with Steph Curry, nobody is close to that. And you know what? Paulie said something to me earlier this morning, because he knows that I'm fascinated with Steph Curry. He's at his best when he dribbles more than 10 dribbles. He shoots 52% from three-point range when he dribbles more than 10 times. Like, he's got to get you off balance. He doesn't do, there's no catch and shoot. It's, I got to get you off balance to get this shot off. Yes, Eden.
Is this a reaction to when we had Damian Lillard on last week? Was that last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that? Talking about great shooters and quality of shots. And if he had gotten easier looks like other people get, then he would probably...
Steph doesn't get easy looks. I mean, Damian Lillard doesn't get easy looks either. Klay Thompson gets good looks. He does. But, I mean, Steph is fascinating. And these aren't easy shots. It's not like you go, boy, that's a 35-footer. That's a tough enough shot. He's got two guys who are on him, shadowing him, a guy who's obviously taller than him, and he pulls and rips, man. God. Yeah, McLovin.
So, like, Joe Harris on the Nets is leading the league at 48% from three, but I got to assume those are easier threes than Steph.
Yes. Talk about catch and shoot. Joe Harris would have, hey, I got Kyrie, Harden, and Durant to worry about, depending on who's on the floor. I'll just stand over here. Maybe they'll forget about me. It's like, who forgot? Joe Harris is over there. And then he can hit the three. Kurt in Ohio. Hi, Kurt. Best and worst of the weekend. Hey, Kurt.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good, Kurt. What do you have?
I'm going to make it fast because I got a bunch. Best of the weekend. Best of the weekend, everybody up at The Ohio State University. My girl just got out of her appointment. She's cancer-free. Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah.
The other thing is, finally, watching sports on TV and seeing fans back in the stands, we might be getting back to normal. And I also wanted to touch on, you were talking about seeing these athletes race in person. I was at the 96 Olympics, and I saw the finals. And watching Michael Johnson and these guys run, it is insane to actually watch these people. To see a human being run that fast is absolutely amazing. And on the poll question, I would go with Usain Bolt, because not only... that you're the fastest person in the world. He was beloved not only by his entire country, but frankly, a lot of the world was rooting for Usain Bolt.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm going to go with, I'd rather be the fastest man in the world.
All right, and congrats on your daughter, Kurt. That's great news. Yeah, I said Tom Brady, because somebody eventually comes along. Like, there's a new fastest guy in the world. He's not as fast as Usain Bolt, but there's a guy who's the fastest guy in the world. Tom Brady is still the slowest quarterback, but he is the best quarterback, and he's got 7 Super Bowls. So, it would be him. Absolutely. All right. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'm going to start with you. Back left, best and worst.
Best of the weekend, Russell Westbrook ties the Big O. Oscar Robertson, Saturday night for most career triple-doubles, and then leads them to victory over the Pacers in OT. 33 points, 19 boards, 15 assists, 2 blocks, including a clinching block at the end of overtime. Yep. Worst of the weekend, the Nationals waste a great outing by Max Scherzer at Yankee Stadium. Sadly, strikes out 14, gives up only 2 hits and a walk. Pinstripes took it 4-3-11. Scherzer joins Nolan Ryan, the big unit, Clemens, and Pedro as the only pitchers to strike out 10 or more at least 100 times.
McLovin?
My best is the movie Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
And is it on Netflix now? Or?
Amazon Prime, you can rent it, I know.
Oh, okay.
It's not a Netflix movie. I can't tell you anything about it without giving away too much.
Now, understand that Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, he actually had an intruder in his home in real life.
Yeah.
And he encountered a real life situation here, and then right. They made a movie out of it as well.
And you know, it's funny about him. You know, Better Call Saul, Bob Odenkirk. He started out as a Saturday Night Live writer, and now he's an action hero. What a career! I really loved it. It was great. The worst is, I don't know if you guys saw this story. So Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil on the Mets, got in a fight, and afterwards Lindor said that there was a big hubbub because they saw a rat in the hallway. And it turns out that all indications are he just made that up, and they actually got 2 teammates got in a fight, then made up right after the game. It's the most bizarre story, and they basically said made up the story of a giant possum or a rat got into the clubhouse, but it really was they were just getting in a fight. I don't know. You kind of had to be there.
But you weren't there.
I wasn't there. Yeah. I kind of hate the Mets, just like I hate the Knicks. It's a Philly fan thing. I hate the Mets, so I just tried to get them in there.
Thank you, McLovin. Seton, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend is Bryson DeChambeau. thinking he misses the cut, flies home. Buddy, you better turn around and head back. And then he ends up winning like $230,000 or something like that.
Yeah, he had to rent a private plane to fly back to the Wells Fargo that was won by Rory.
That's pretty hilarious. And then my actually most fascinating of the weekend is, I know we haven't really done much on this story because it seems like it's dead, but there's still 3 teams holding on to the Super League in Europe. Real Madrid, Juventus, and Barcelona are still like, no, we're full steam ahead. Let's do this. That is fascinating.
But their fan bases don't have a problem with this.
No, I don't know. I think they probably do. I know that at least one of those clubs is in real financial trouble. They have like some serious finances.
Real
finance.
Paulie, best.
Somebody better Barcelona them some money.
Oh,
hey,
atta boy.
Yeah.
Well, if you got a Liverpool of money, then...
There you go.
Wow.
Chelsea, you there?
Oh.
Last call.
Manchester, that was good. But,
you're full. Of... We're so funny ourselves.
Yeah.
No one else.
We're Birminghaming it up. The Navin team. I don't
Birmingham.
Know.
Birmingham. Yep. Yes, Paul.
Deep dive there. FCS playoffs, Dan. South Dakota State 33-3 over Delaware to make the final. And then a great game. Sam Houston versus Jay Madison.
Houston.
38-35. So the final next week for tune-in skills. 2 p.m. Eastern on 516, May 16th, South Dakota State versus Sam Houston for the FCS football title.
We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Bob Baffert at the top of the hour here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw this in Peter King's column this morning. He talked about Deshaun Watson's next football team. He says if he's free to play football unencumbered by legal issues in 2022, here are the odds on Deshaun Watson's next football team. He's got a tie at the top. Two teams, 3-1 odds. Philadelphia, a likely need, plus Eagles are in a perfect position to deal with three first-round picks. Carolina is the other one. David Tepper would find the resources to do a deal. And that means you would have a one-off with Sam Darnold there in Carolina. Washington, that's the team, in my opinion, because I think you're a great quarterback away from being a great team. The major need is there, and so would be the will to make a deal. Denver, high stakes QB division, Broncos, a distant fourth at that position. Houston is next at 8-1, but he says, I can't see him staying. New Orleans also in there. Miami is in. Why is it that we keep hearing Miami? It's almost like San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, he's our quarterback. Hey, Tom, do you want to come in? Hey, Aaron, would you like to come in? Hey, Trey Lance, come on in. This is what we're doing with Tua Tagovailoa. He's only been there a year. Plus, he was hurt by Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert playing so well that I think the expectation level has been ramped up. Minnesota, Peter has in there as a long shot. I don't see that. I think Kellen Mond makes more sense that you get a guy on that rookie contract. I don't want to bring in Watson. And then I also have to bring in everything that goes along with that, including a salary that's, you know, 40-some million dollars a year. Pittsburgh is also in there as well. Yeah, McClubbin.
Yeah, like the Eagles are a rebuilding team. Why bring in a veteran quarterback with that talent around them?
Yeah. I see Washington as the team. That's my thought. Or Carolina. Yes, Paul.
If you're a Houston, would you look to trade Watson now? You may get quite a bit less.
Oh, they are.
But for a good offer. Or wait till the results come out and roll the dice. Because if the investigation goes poorly, you're not going to be able to trade him for anything. If it goes well for you and he's somehow cleared, he's back for full price offers.
Former player I spoke with over the weekend. And we got around, we were talking about other things. And he said, hey, do you think Watson plays this year? And I said, yeah, I get the feeling somehow he'll play. And then I said, how many therapists, that physical therapists, masseuses did you have in your career? And I think he played 11 years. He said, I had the same physical therapist masseuse for 7 years. He goes, I had three in my entire career. And he said one was because one went on maternity leave. And so I had really two real masseuses there. He said that this doesn't make any sense with Deshaun Watson. That's why he said, even if he's not guilty of some, he's guilty of probably the others, just doing the math here. He said it just doesn't make any sense. When you find a great physical therapist, a masseuse, you don't let them go. Like, that's gold. Like, you got somebody who knows you, you know them, you trust them, they trust you. And he played 11 years and said, after 7 years, I was heartbroken that I had to lose this therapist, this masseuse. But here's another story that's gone quiet, because these things have an ebb and a flow. Like Deshaun Watson, oh my gosh. Now it's quiet. Russell Wilson, oh my gosh, quiet. Aaron Rodgers, oh my gosh, quiet. Now that doesn't mean something doesn't happen. Russ seems like he's fine in Seattle right now. Aaron Rodgers, it's just quiet. I was told this, that behind the scenes, it's quiet for a reason, that they're trying to work this out. Whether it happens or not, I don't know who takes that first step. Does Rodgers say, I overreacted? I don't see that. Do the Packers say, you know what? We take the blame, you know? Does Brian Gutekunst come out and say, look, I'm following the sword here? I mean, he may say privately, hey, we didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to do this. I mean, sometimes you do this, when you're having an argument with your wife. It's easier, it's better if you somehow find some commonality and you figure it out. You don't go to bed angry. But in this situation, it's quiet. And I think that's positive. If I'm a Packers fan, I think that's positive. Now, watch Aaron Rodgers say, there's no way, you know, I'm coming back and trade me as soon as, you know, June 1st rolls around. From what I was told, it's quiet for a reason, and that's a good thing. JJ in Oklahoma. Hey, JJ.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
First time, long time, 6'1", soft, 248. Just a couple things on the Kentucky Derby. I'm a retired racing official. So you guys were mentioning pre-race testing. It's very difficult to do. So how you do a post-race test is there are blood samples and urine samples drawn.
Okay.
And from those blood samples, they do what's called a mass spectrometry test. So they can test for thousands of different metabolites within that test. And the issue there is you just don't have enough time to do a day of test or anything like that. In the case of the Medina Spirit, with the betamethasone, it's a class 4 medication, meaning that it is allowed in a horse's system, but there is a threshold level, which is 10 picograms in the state of Kentucky. He tested at 21. And this is a problem that you have with horses. It's no different than humans. We metabolize different things at different rates, just like horses do. So even though you have a withdrawal time, a scheduled withdrawal time on this medication in order for it to be out of the horse's system, sometimes a horse will metabolize it differently, which could be the situation here with this horse.
What question would you ask Bob Baffert?
You know, that's a really good question. I would just, I mean, obviously he said he's wanting to turn over the records to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. I haven't really thought about that. I do know that betamethasone, he has had gamine test positive for before, like he mentioned with Pat Forty. But that's a difficult question for me to ask on what I would like to know from him. You know, from a betting perspective, you guys had mentioned that about having the second place horse of 25-1. It's no different than the Astros cheating scandal. I don't think anybody cashed on the Dodgers potentially winning the World Series there. So because it's a parimutuel sport and because you're betting against everybody else around you and you're not betting against the house, it's really hard to go back and adjust those payouts.
JJ, thank you. I appreciate your time. Thanks for listening. Bob Baffert will join us coming up top of the hour. He said, you know, he hasn't used that drug on this horse before. Or, you know, he didn't say, hey, look, we did this weeks ago, and it stayed in the horse's system. Yeah, McClellan.
I think I get parimutuel now. That guy just explained it. You're not betting against the house. Maybe you guys already knew this. All the bets that come in, the winnings are split amongst the bettors.
Yes.
So that's why they can't refund it.
Yeah. I will find out, you know, how did we get to this point with Bob Baffert? I mean, it's the best trainer in history. How do we get here? Are they going to take this Kentucky Derby title away? Also, Reggie Miller will join. We got a busy final hour. Reg will join us coming up as well. We'll take a break. The final hour on this Monday on the way. Dan Patrick Show. Oh, one more item here. I think we've all had that feeling. You're looking for a job. It's stressful. Takes a lot of time to fill out all those applications. You don't hear back from anybody. Not even sure if they got your application. And then you feel like maybe I just got lost in the shuffle of people applying for the job. Searching for a job is a full-time job. ZipRecruiter knows the general experience of looking for a job and that it's pretty sucky. When you sign up for ZipRecruiter.com, you can create a free profile. You get matched to great jobs, plus a lot more. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. I love it because candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. Number one rated job site in the United States. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com today and experience a better way to find a job. Once again, you go to ZipRecruiter.com right now, sign up. It's absolutely free, and let ZipRecruiter do all the work for you. Good luck.